Okay, so in the middle of discussing the aspect of the sugya, the exception of Shei Baal Tasa, right? The Gemara asked the Kasha, basically, against the Gemara's initial klal is that Kavod HaBrios loses to Mitzvos D'Oraisa. The Gemara says, what do you mean? How can you say that? Don't we see that Kavod HaBrios, which is a din, don't we see that the mitzvah of Meis Mitzvah, which is a din in Kavod HaBrios, is Docha Mitzvos D'Oraisa of Mila and Karban Pesach? The Gemara says, how could it be? The Gemara says, no. That is different because why? Why is Meis Mitzvah being Docha Mila and Karban Pesach different? Because that's Shei Baal Tasa, right? So then we got into discussing what exactly is the nature of this exception? What is the effect of Shei Baal Tasa on this klal? We pointed out that this notion of Shei Baal Tasa being different comes up, and the assumption is a fundamental difference between violating an Isser b'Shei Baal Tasa versus violating b'Kum Va'aseh. That idea comes up in many different contexts. Number one is Kavod HaBrios, our sugya. Number two is Yesh Koach L'Chamim Makor Dafer Min HaTorah. Number three is the idea that a Lav She'ein Bo Maisa is Patur from Malkus. So again, similarly, you see the similar idea that a Lav which is violated by Kum Va'aseh is fundamentally different than a Lav violated by Shei Baal Tasa, because only a Kum Va'aseh is Chayv Malkus, but a Ein Bo Maisa is Patur from Malkus. And the fourth time that this Ein Bo Maisa / Shei Baal Tasa idea comes up is in the sugya of Yehareg Vayavar, where we know that the Gemara says, when the Gemara asks, Baha Esther for Hasi Havai, the Gemara answers, Karka Olam. That basically the idea is that she is not Mechuyeves to give up her life right before being Boel Achashverosh because Karka Olam, because she was Shei Baal Tasa. So there we have, right, the four different contexts where this idea comes up of Ein Bo Maisa / Shei Baal Tasa. And then we have to understand what exactly, number one, is the geder of Shei Baal Tasa in this different context. What's the geder of Shei Baal Tasa? What does it mean to be passive? And then understand what's the reason behind these exceptions. Yeah?
We learned in Bava Kama that all women during BR are karka olam, so there's no fetish there.
That's a loaded question. What do you mean by that?
There's a discussion in Bava Kama saying that if a man damages his wife during BS, he is chayev. It answers that he's chayev because entering here is a rishuf, but then the Gemara says that they're both chayev misa. So if he's the only one doing the action, then why are they both chayev misa? And we answer that she's also getting hand off. But she's not doing any action. So the answer of Karka Olam doesn't answer why Esther is proper.
Why not? I mean, she could have gotten, I don't know. Although the Gemara is saying that the koveya for Yehari Vayavor is not Hanna, but it's Maisa.
But any woman during Bia is never doing the action.
Well, that's a Machokas Rishonim, actually. There's the Machokas Rishonim in the Sugya Yehari Vayavor is there, can a woman be active? Let's say she plays an active role in the preparation, bringing him upon her. Is that transform the whole thing into a Kum Va'aseh or not? So that's a machokas amongst the Baalei Tosafos. It's a larger topic. In short, there's a machokas about whether a woman, is Karka Olam characterize all women in Ma'aseh Bios or only a particular Ma'aseh Bios where she's passive? That's a machokas. But Mechayev of Misa for Gila Rayos in general is the Hanna. And Kamak Mahar. It's a big topic. But let's hold off for now. Oh. So then we started basically discussing. We're going to basically discuss the other topics first, and then we're going to discuss this by Kavod HaBrios. But a very important chakira, which comes down to what exactly is the geder of Shei Baal Tasa versus Kum Va'aseh. And we're in the middle of developing two different approaches. All right. The first approach is that the koveya for Shei Baal Tasa versus Kum Va'aseh is whether the person is active in regards to the guf ha'isser. Namely, taking the nature of the isser into account, did the person violate the nature of the isser actively or not actively, or passively? Right, so the first approach says that being active versus passive only matters in terms of the guf ha'isser. So that's the first approach we're in the middle of developing, which basically says that even if the person happens to be active while he's violating the avera, but the nature of the avera, in terms of from the perspective of the nature of the avera, he's passive. That case is considered Shei Baal Tasa, according to the first approach. We'll give some examples to flesh this out. So again, according to the first approach we're going to develop right now, is that as long as the person is passive in regards to the nature of the isser, it doesn't matter that he is active while he is violating the isser. So again, easier to understand this subtle distinction when you have concrete examples. So the first occult makoros we saw this come from the realm of Malchus. The first example is the Rambam Nechagiga Aleph Aleph. Anybody remember the example that the Rambam is discussing? Exactly, Ola Sariya. Exactly, you're right. You walk into the Azara, but you don't bring a carbon Ola. So that's an Avera, but Rambam says it's Pater Mimalkus because it's Ein Bo Maisa. Even though the time that you're violating the Avera, it's because you were walking into the Azara, but says the Rambam, it's still considered a Pater Malkus of Ein Bo Maisa because fundamentally, the Avera was not bringing the Ola. Right, it was fundamentally the mitzvah is the assay of bringing an ola. So fundamentally, your violation is not bringing the ola. So even though you were actively walking while you were violating the avera, since fundamentally the violation was the ein bo maisa of not being makir of the ola, it's considered ein bo maisa. So the Rambam is the first example within the context of Malchus that the geder of ein bo maisa is in regards to the gufa isser, the nature of the isser, not just whether you happen to be passive or active.
No, it's not, because he's not active for the isser. The isser is not to bring Ola. He's not active, he didn't bring Ola. He didn't do nothing.
He's walking in.
It's not avera.
That's gufa isser. That's the point. That's
no, the Rambam is saying that the gufa isser is the Ola. It's to bring the Ola, but if you're not bringing
the Ola...
And
therefore it's Ein Bo Maisa.
Ein Bo Maisa,
you're agreeing. And the Rambam says that the primary mitzvah here is the asay of bringing an Ola. So therefore, if you don't bring the Ola, that's Ein Bo Maisa, of not bringing the Ola. Even though you physically walked into the Azara while doing it, but since fundamentally the Avera is to not bring the Ola, it's Ein Bo Maisa and there's no Malkus. I think we're agreeing. First example, so that's the Rambam in the realm of Malchus, defining Ein Bo Maisa in terms of the Gufa Isser. Next example is the Tosos, and we did this last time, so just doing this quickly, but the Tosos and Shavuos. Tosos and Shavuos, Dav Dal and Amun Aleph, discussing the case of a Shavua, Sha'ochal Kikarzu, right? You make a Shavua that you're going to eat this Kikar, and then you didn't. So, right, the Gemara says it's a case of Ein Bo Maisa because you didn't eat the Kikar. That sounds pashut. But Tosas, through a certain cheshbon, because of Astral Safik, says that the case that the Gemara is discussing is a case where it's not that you didn't eat the kikar. What do you do? What do you do to prevent yourself from eating the kikar? You threw it in the sea. Right? Zarko liyam. Says Tosas, even though the person chucked the kikar into the sea, and therefore he, through a maisa, prevented himself from being Mekayim this Shavua. Still, says Tosas, it's Ein Bo Maisa. Why? What do you mean? He did a maisa of Zarkal Yam? Because the answer, again, is, like we're saying, that because the Guf HaIsser is the Sheva Altasa of not eating, not fulfilling your Shavua to eat. So even though the way you prevented yourself from being Mekayim the Shavu is Al-Yidei Maisa of Zarkal Yam, since fundamentally the Gufa Isser is not eating, so therefore even though you cause yourself to violate this through a Maisa, it's still considered Ein Bo Maisa, says Tosos. And we're going to see the Ramban in contrast in a couple minutes. So again, both the Rambam and Tosos, in the context of the Patur Malchus of Ein Bo Maisa, both say that the Koveya for Ein Bo Maisa is the Gufa Isser. So even though at the time that you're violating, you're doing a Maisa, it's still considered Ein Bo Maisa because fundamentally the Gufa Isser is Sheva Taisa, is passive. In Rambam's case, it's passively not bringing an Ola. And in Tosa's case, it's passively not eating the Kikar. Even in the both cases, through Rambam's case of walking to the Azara, the Rambam's case of actively throwing the Kikar into the Yam, even though both cases, while you're violating, you're doing a Maisa, since the Gufa Isser is passive, it's considered Ein Bo Maisa. So there you have the Gufa Isser approach as manifested by the Rambam and Tosa's within the realm of Malchus. So now we're going to see another Mefarish adopt this Gufa Isser approach within the context of Yesh Koach L'Chamim Lakor Devar Min HaTorah. And this is what we didn't do last time. And this is going to be the Shagas Aryeh. But in order to understand the Shagas Aryeh, we have to look at the Tosas and Yevamos that is the question that of Tosas that the Shagas Aryeh is coming to answer. So everyone who... encourage the chaver to bring a Gemara in Yevamos to be able to read this Tosas inside. So everyone can open, whoever has a Gemara in Yevamos, Tzadi Amid Beis. So look at the Tosos there, Kulu, Dir Maskel Kulu Nada. So again, just to briefly discuss the context of Tosos, right? The Gemara had basically established a very important klal, that the Chachamim have the right to be Ma'akir Adin the Torah, as long as Sheva Altasa. And in doing that, the Gemara says, oh, the case of Sadin Betzitzis. Anybody know the background of what's the case of Sadin Betzitzis? What? Exactly. Right? So really, sudden is what? Exactly right. So sudden mitzitzah's idea is putting tzitzis on sudden. Right? So really, you know, practically that seems to be klai, right? To put the tzitzis on a beged of sudden. But the mitzvah of tzitzis is doche, meaning ase doche lo ase, is generally doche, the lav of klai. But the Rabbanan came along and said, no, it's going to be a problem because let's say at night, if you're wearing that beged of sudden with tzitzis, and you're not being mekayim the mitzvah at night, so you're going to end up violating the law of klayim, and you're not going to have the asay of tzitzis to be doche. So in short, the background is, the Chachamim said, if you have a beged of sudden, do not put tzitzis on it. And the Gemara says, oh, that's sheval taisa, because you're just not doing the mitzvah of tzitzis. So Tosas is going to ask the kasha. What's the Tosas kasha? Let's see Tosas inside. So Tosas inside Yom HaBeis, Kulu Nami. Nadav, would you mind starting us off? So what's Tosas is kasha?
Wearing something is a maisa.
Right? So he says, how can you call that sheval taisa? You're going to actively put on the beged of sudden without tzitzis. You're going to violate the mitzvah of tzitzis. Because you're doing a maisa levisha. So Tosas is kasha is that how can you, Gemara, characterize the case of sudden betzitzis as shebal taisa? What do you mean it's a mais levisha? You're going to be actively putting the sudden on, and when you actively put the sudden on, you're going to violate the mitzvah of tzitzis. We'll get back to Tosas' answer later. But the Shai's Arye is going to answer Tosas' kasha along the lines of this Gufa Isser approach. The Shai's Arye is going to answer, wait a second. If you focus on the Gufa Isser, right? The focus of the Isser here of tzitzis is the assay of putting on tzitzis. So says the Shagas Arge, I don't care, Tosfos, that while you're violating, you're doing the action of putting, of actively, of Mais Levisha, of putting the beget on. Because fundamentally, the Isser here is that you're not putting tzitzis on. So fundamentally, it's a Sheba'al Taisa of not being Mekayim in the midst of Tzitzis. So the way the Shagas Arge answers Tosas Kasha is by saying, Tosas, you got the whole perspective wrong. Tosas is all focused on, oh, at the time that you're violating, you're doing a Maisa. We're going to see Tosas belongs to the second approach. Shagas Arge says, no, the Koveh is the Gufa Isser. And since here the Gufa Isser is the Asay of Tzitzis, and therefore fundamentally, the way you violated, you know, the mitzvah of tzitzis is sheva taisa of not being mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis. So Shagas Arye says, oh, since the koveya of sheva taisa for the purpose of yesh koach lacham lakar davar min haTorah is the gufa iser, therefore in this case, so the mitzvah is sheva taisa, even though while you're violating, you do the maisa of a maisa levisha of putting the beged on, since the gufa iser is not performing the asay of tzitzis, it is fundamentally considered sheva taisa. And the Shagas Arge brings a raya from the Rambam in Chagiga that we just had before, right? The Rambam in Chagiga Aleph Aleph, and says, oh, just like the Rambam in Chagiga Aleph Aleph, said even though you're doing an active ma'isa of walking into the Azara, it's still considered aimbo ma'isa for the purpose of Malkus, because fundamentally the Gufa Isser is not being makriv, and that's Sheval Taisa. Shagas Arge says, so too in the Sugya of Yesh Koch L'Chachamim, even though at the time that you're violating, you're doing the active Maisa of a Maisa Levisha, since the Gufa Isser is, again, not putting on the tzitzis, just like the Rambam's case is Eimba Maisa, so too the case here is considered Sheva Taisa. So in Shai's Arye, not only in adopting this Gufa Isser approach, he's equating the Gedder of Sheva Taisa in the context of Yesh Koach L'Chachamim with the Gedder of Eimba Maisa for the purposes of Malkus. So that's all coming along, again, with this first approach, that the Koveya in all these cases is the Gufa Isser, not whether you're doing a Maisa at the time that you're violating Avera, but rather, whether given the nature of the Avera at hand, are you violating that B'Sheva Taisa or V'Kum Vase? So Adkan is the first approach. Both we saw in the realm of Malkus, and we saw in the realm of Yesh Koach L'Chachamim, where again, the Koveya is the Gufa Isser. And now it's important to say that now that we have a good understanding of this, Rav Chanan explains, so why is it, right? Why is it that the Koveya is the Gufa Isser? Why is that the Koveya for Sheval Taisa or, you know, Eimba Maisa? Says Rav Chanan, because the Koveya for these Mefarshim is the Chomer HaIsser. Since the Koveya is the Chomer HaIsser, So therefore, the koveya for kuvim ba'aseh versus sheva ataisa is how do you violate the gufa issa? Since the koveya of sheva ataisa versus kuvim ba'aseh is all about how chomer, right? How chomer was your violation? And the idea is that a kuvim ba'aseh violation is more chomer than a sheva ataisa violation. Says Rav Chanan, since the reasoning behind Sheva Ataisa versus Kumva Asay is all about that Sheva Ataisa is more kal, and while Kumva Asay is more chamor, so since it's all about the Chumras HaIsser, it makes sense, says Rav Chanan, to be mantir Kumva Asay versus Sheva Ataisa in terms of the Gufa Isser. And therefore, as long as the Gufa Isser is Sheva Ataisa, so then the Gufa Isser is considered a more kal violation. But if the Gufa Isser is a Kumba Asay violation, so then it's considered a more chamar isra. So again, that's the Rav Chanan's explanation for this first approach of the Rambam, Tosos, and Shagas Aryeh. Right, for why the Koveya of Sheva Taisa versus Kumba Asay is the Gufa Isser, says Rav Chanan, because since it's all about the Chumrasa Isser, so therefore it makes sense to define Kumba Asay versus Sheva Taisa in terms of the Gufa Isser. Yeah.
Also, Tosos?
Sorry, Tosos in Shavuos, not Tosos in Yavamas. Sorry. That's, yeah. Ooh, yeah, 100%. 100%. Oh. So now getting back to the second approach, right? The second approach is going to say that no, the koveya for Sheva Taisa versus Gufa, Sheva Taisa versus Kumva Ase is simply whether you did a Maisa while you were violating the Isser. And according to the second approach, as long as you're doing a Maisa while you're violating the Avera, the case is going to be considered a kumva ase. Even if the gufa iser itself a sheva taisa, the koveya is whether you're practically doing a maisa, whether you're active when you are violating the avera. And if, according to the second approach, if you're active while you're violating the avera, even if the gufa iser is passive, it's still going to be mugdar as a kumva ase. Right? So now within this second approach, again, that the koveya is not the gufa iser, but whether you are active, practically, whether you're active or passive during your violation, we're going to see right now two different explanations for why this is the case, right? Two different explanations for what is the lumdus behind kumva ase versus sheva taisa, if the reasoning is all about practically whether you were, you know, active or passive. So the first explanation is given by Rav Chanan in the Kovei Tzaharos. And Rav Chanan says the following beautiful idea. He says, if the koveya for kumva aseh versus sheva taisa is not the gufa iser, but rather practically whether you are active or passive, says Rav Chanan, that indicates that the reasoning behind sheva taisa versus kumva aseh has nothing to do with chumrasa iser. Because says Rav Chanan, if it had to do with chumrasa iser, it should all be toloi on the gufa iser. Says Rav Chanan, according to the second approach we're going to develop soon, it's a completely different perspective on the sugya. It's rather that, and let's just give the case of, let's give the case of karkol, right? The vort, according to Rav Chanan, of kumva aseh sheva taisa, and the reason why sheva taisa is a heter, is because you have a clash between two values, and when you have a clash between these two values, there's a stalemate. Right, they have equal value, and you can't decide which one is more valuable. So says the heter of sheva taisa is that you just have to be passive. Now give an example. Let's say by karkola, says Rav Chanan, according to the second approach, you have two values. On the one hand, your life's at stake. So pikuach nefesh on the one hand. The other hand, you have the chomer avira. Let's say gilo arayos. In the case, right, Gil Arayos of Esther. You have a clash. So you have the Avera of Gil Arayos, and you have the Pikuach Nefesh. So the Heter of Karka Olam, says Rav Chanan, is that you just have to be passive. Because there's a stalemate between these two values of Pikuach Nefesh and the Chomer Avera, you just can't decide. You can't take a Maisa, you can't actively choose one over the other, because it's a stalemate. There's an equal clash between the two values. You have to be completely passive. So that's the way you understand. Let's say karkol. Let's go back to yesh kol chacham lakor davar min haTorah. You have two values. You have the mitzvah d'oraisa, but then you also have the mitzvah l'shmo l'divrei chachamim. So there's a clash. Then do you follow the mitzvah d'oraisa, or do you follow the mitzvah to listen to chachamim? So the idea of sheva taisa is that you just stand still. You do nothing. I'm going to get back to the Kavod HaBriyos in just a moment. But according to Rav Chanan, the whole perspective on Sheva Taisa is not that, oh, Sheva Taisa makes the Isser more kal. It's rather that there's a stalemate between the two values, and you just have to stay put. You can't take any action. Says Rav Chanan, since it's all about a stalemate and you can't do any action, so therefore, it doesn't matter whether your action has to do with the Gufa Isser. It's like you just can't do any Kumba Asay. So it doesn't matter whether your action has to do with the Gufa Isser, because it's all about stalemate. You have to be completely passive. So according to Rav Chanan, you just can't. The heter of Sheva Taisa, the heter of Karka Olam, is that you just stand still. You can't do anything. And therefore, any action that you take will be considered kumva asay, because any action, you're deciding between these two values.
If you're saying that it's equal,
well, okay, that gets back to the halal saser idea, which we discussed before we got here. Yeah. But again, Rav Chanan is going to assume that the mitzvah l'shma l'divrei chacham is going to be the deraisa of lo saser. So you have lo saser on the one hand, and then you have, let's say, kelayim on the other hand. Which one do you do? You have to stay passive. And then for any action, or let's say karka ola. That's even easier to understand. You have the gila raya as an avera on the one hand, and you have pikuach nefesh. What do you do? Says Rav Chanan, stalemate. You can't do anything. Yeah, Michal.
In the fact that Gemara says Yaru Be'al Yavur, how can we say that there's another side? Of Pikuach Nefesh. The Gemara says that the three things that you're Be'al Yavur for. Doesn't say
the Gemara,
there's an exception.
Yeah, the Gemara says the exception is Karkol.
Yeah, it does.
That's the Gemara. So Rav Chanan is trying to explain, what is that exception? So he's explaining, the exception is because when it comes to Karkol, in case of Karkol, when you're passive, the idea is there's a stalemate between Pikuach Nefesh and the big, you know, the Avera Chamura or the Farhesia, whatever the case is. And you can't do anything, Karka Olam. Okay? Oh. So again, the first explanation of, right, this idea, the second approach that's all about, you know, not about the Gufa Isser, but any Maisa is considered a Kumbas, eh? First explanation is the stalemate idea of Rav Chanan. But just, it's important to note that it's a very geshmak svara of Rav Chanan. It has limitations. It works for some of the cases we're discussing, but not for one of the cases. Anybody know? No. Which of the realms of that we've been discussing does it not apply to?
Malkus.
Excellent. Because
there's only one mitzvah.
Exactly. Every other realm we're discussing, right? There's a steer between two values. I covered up rios. There's the mitzvah da'araisa, and then there's the value of covered up rios. By Yehar Vayavar, there's Pikuach Nefesh, and then there's the Avera Chamura. By Yesh Koach Chachamim, there's Mitzvah L'shmol Devar Chachamim, and then there's the Avera D'Araisa. By Malkus, true Malkus, it's not clash. Oh, what are you supposed to do, L'chatchil? It's that you did an Avera, and the question is, do you do the Avera through a Maisa or not a Maisa? So it's very important that the Svara that Rav Chanan gives is not going to work for Malkus. And we're going to see right now that the Ramban says this Svara in the realm of Malkus. So we're going to have to offer a different Svara. Number one. The other limitation of Rav Chanan is Rav Chanan Svara assumes that any Maisa at any point in the process is to be considered Kumbasek. The whole point is stalemate. You can't do anything. But we're going to see, anybody know? There's one of the Rishonim in the Sugya which says, no, the only Maisa which is Kumbasek is if the Maisa is Bishas Ha'avera. Anybody remember this? We're going to get to this. This is the Tosin Yivamos. Tosin Yivamos is going to say, no, the Kumva Asay is only when the Maisa is Bishasa Avera. So that doesn't work with Rav Chanan either, because Rav Chanan's whole svar is stalemate. You can't decide. Therefore, you can't take any action. So while Rav Chanan's svar is beautiful, it's not going to work for the realm of Malkus, and it's not going to work for the Rishonim who limit the Maisa to a specific time period. Because according to Rav Chanan, any Maisa is going to be a problem. Any Maisa is going to be considered Kumbasek.
What are
yeah.
the clash of vows for Esther?
There's her life versus Farhesia or Gilad. I know, yeah, that's it's a clash of two Duraisas. So Kark Olam says you can't decide between those two Duraisas, you just have to be passive. That's Rav Chanan's whole perspective is that it's not that when you're passive, so therefore the Avera is less Chamor, and then, you know, Pikuach Nefesh is Doche the Avera. No, it's that stalemate. Two equal values, you can't decide, be passive.
How is it Pikuach Nefesh for Esther?
Because
she refuses, she gets killed.
Yeah,
but she didn't have to go and sign up to be one of.
Okay, that gets. Wow. Yeah, that gets the whole. There's a lot of indications that it was Ones in the pshat happens to me. That's not Tanakh sure, but look at the Malbim on the happens to me. Look at the Malbim on the Megillah. But the Gemara is assuming that it would be a risk to her life. That if she wouldn't have listened to it, that's why it's still give you a hard like Avar.
And isn't.
Yeah, continue. Sorry, no.
Isn't Pikuch Nefesh Docha?
But not Parhes, yeah.
Okay, so then it shouldn't be Docha. Meaning.
If that's the whole Sugya.
Right, well, I'm saying if it's not Nidcha, then.
No, but what the Gemara is saying by Karko Olam is that Pikuch Nefesh and Farhesya or Gila Rayas is a stalemate. So therefore, she just has to be passive. Because of that stalemate, she can't take a stand. She can't say, oh, you know, I'm going to actively violate the Aver, or I'm going to, you know, she just has to be passive. And since she's passive, since she only passively violates the Avera through Karka Olam, that's fine.
I'm saying it's Yarag Vayavar.
Well, the Gemara says, but Malcolm Karka Olam is no Yarag Vayavar. That means the whole sugya is that, oh, isn't Esther a Yarag Vayavar?
She went.
Answer.
To
what?
She went.
And the, in terms of the Maisa B is Karka Olam.
Just according to Tosfot, it's to apply. That if she went, and then the Maisa B,
okay. We'll get back to that. Yeah. Okay, but that's sort of what I was referencing with Michal. Is there a situation where a woman can be active based on her, based on the lead up to the Maisa Bia? Some Rishonim say it's, you know, it's automatic. She's always passive. Some say yeah, because if she's active in the Hachana, so then it's considered, that's not considered Karka Ola. And now the idea of is Esther's that she was passive throughout. She was forcefully taken. Yeah.
You said that for the second Svara of what's the reason for the distinction between Kumbase and Sheba Tasa, that works for everything except for Malchus, because by Malchus there's no steering between two.
I mean Rav Chanan's explanation, yeah, this down.
But for the first Svara that Kumbase is more Homer, so that does work for Malchus.
Yeah.
You could say that the reason why you get Malchus and Kumbase
for sure, yeah.
That means that those two Rishonim that we brought before,
yeah, but
that
just
by Malchus, those allowed that to have to agree by the case, by the Shagasari's case, by Tzitzis. So there's no real proof for the Rambam and Chagiga, because could be the Rambam agrees that by Tzitzis, that this other Svara of this Stira applies, and then therefore there's a different distinction, different way
to. Good. Yeah, we're gonna see a whole group of Rishonim right now within. Hold off, and then we'll cheshbon it out later. I understand 100% what you're saying. Let's just work it out. I'm just gonna make it something very clear. Right, remember, just to summarize what we had so far. Right, the first approach that the Geder of Kumva Asay is all about the Gufa Isser, and that clearly had to, the Svara there clearly had to do with the Chumrasa Isser. The second approach is that it's not about the Geder of Kumva Asay is not about the Gufa Isser. It's about any Maisa, right? Any Maisa during the violation. And as long as you did any Maisa while you're violating, that's considered a Kumbase. Again, Mordechai, just follow with me right now. Meaning, we're going to have two explanations within the second approach. Within the second approach, that the Geder of Kumbase is any Maisa while you're violating, there can be two explanations. The first explanation, we'll call it 2A, is Rav Chanan's idea, is the stalemate idea. But the idea is that the reason why any Maisa, you know, matters is because there's a stalemate between the two Daraisa values and you just have to be passive. So you pointed out that doesn't apply to Malkus, and it only works if every Maisa, any action that you take is considered Kumbase. 2B, the second explanation of this approach, is that no, even this approach has to do with Chumrsa Isser. Meaning, and what 2B is going to say, that if you are active while you're violating, even if that kumvase doesn't have to do with the gufa iser, as long as you're active while you're violating, that also makes the violation more chamar. According to this 2b, that, I mean, both approaches think that the idea of kumvase with Sheva Tai says all about chumrasa iser. And the machlokas is only what type of kumvase is needed to make the iser more chamar. Is it first approach is only when the kumvase has to do with the gufa iser? That's the first approach. Well, the second approach is say no. Anytime you're active along the process of violating, that makes the violation more chamar, even though the your kumba asay doesn't have to do with the gufa isser. Just the fact that you're an active party, that itself, you know, renders it more chamor. So again, approach number one, that it has to do with the gufa isser. Approach number two has to do with any activity, any kumba asay, you know, while violating, is considered kumba asay. Well, within that two svarot, 2A is Rav Chanan, the stalemate idea, clash of two values. You know, second explanation of 2B is that this too is about is also din chumer seisir.
Why?
Because the idea is that ein adoma is someone who's completely passive throughout, and someone who is active, even if that being.
No, but if it's on the goof of the isu,
then it's
so
for
why lota says less, shevelta says less chamur than kumer se. If it's not on the person that is not doing nothing, like Rav Chanan, if it's on the isu, yeah. So why it's less
because an isur, meaning, because the idea is that an isur, when you violate the, meaning, I think that makes more sense. Meaning, if the gufa isur, if it's all about chumar sa isur, you can say that it's, the only time it's considered more chumar is if you're kumva asay in regards to the gufa isur.
But it's, the svara is still the same svara.
Yeah, I mean, what do you mean? What's the same as what?
What is the svara behind? Rabbi Elchanan says that the svara is on the person. That the person will say, okay, I'm not doing nothing.
Yeah.
But according to the second approach.
Well, that was within the second approach. Within the second approach, I mean, the stalemate idea. Okay, I mean, the first one is that the only time that the isser becomes more chamor because you're kumva asay is only when your kumva asay relates to the gufa isser. Right, that makes sense. When the gufa isser is done with kumba asay, then it's more chamar. That's what the first approach can say. The second approach, or according to 2B, is going to say, no, anytime you're doing something, that makes it more chamar. Again, and the benefit of that is, the benefit of the second explanation of this 2B is that it's going to enable us to explain Malkus, and it's going to enable us also to explain Tosfos for why he would perhaps limit the Maisa to a certain standpoint. But now, right, now let's see the evidence in the Rishonim for the second general approach, this idea that anytime you're doing a Maisa while you're violating, that's going to be a problem, that's going to be considered kumvase. So the example within the realm, we're going to see one Rishon in each realm. The example from Malkus is the Ramban. Right? The Ramban in Makos, Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, is discussing the same case as Tosfos was in Shavuos. The case of, right, in the case you took a shavua, then you were going to eat the kikar, and then you didn't eat it. But what's the case? You didn't just not eat it. You burned it or threw it in the yam. So this Ramban says, in that case where you actively chucked it in the yam, or you actively burnt it, says the Ramban, that's considered kumba'as. That's not kumba'as. That's considered a lav shiyesh bo malchus. That's considered a lav shiyesh bo maisa, which is therefore a lav shiyesh bo malchus. So the Ramban is clearly adopting the second approach. Because in this case, as we said before, in the contrast to Tosos, right? In this case, where you actively chuck the kikar into the yam. So there, the gufa isser isn't active. The gufa isser is just not eating it. But yet the Ramban says, since you're active along the process of violating, since you did a maisa of throwing it in the yam and that prevented you from fulfilling your shavuot, that's considered a yesh b'maisa, and therefore there's a chiyuv makos. So in stark contrast to Tosfos and Shavuos, says, no, that same exact case is ein bo maisa, because it's all focused on the gufa isser. The Ramban argues, says, no, the gufa isser isn't the koveya. As long as you do a maisa while violating, that's going to be yesh bo maisa, and there's going to be a chiyuv makos. Right? And as we said right before, the only way to explain the Ramban, who's obviously in the realm of Malkus, is not with Rav Chanan's svara, because Rav Chanan's stalemate svara of the clash of two values doesn't apply to Malkus, because Malkus is just, you did the Avera, and how chumer was it? Is it a yesh bo maisa, therefore which gets Malkus, or not? So you need our explanation, we call the explanation 2b, which says that, yeah, that any time you do a maisa along the way of violating, that makes it more chumer, and therefore that's the only type of Avera which gets Malkus. So that's the first Rishon, the Ramban in Makos, who says this idea that any Maisa along the way is going to render it a Yesh Bo Maisa. Now moving on to the next realm, the next Tchum, of Yesh Koach L'chamim Lakor Davar Min HaTorah. And that's going to get us back to that Tosas Sinibamos. So everyone go back to the Tosas Sinibamos. Remember, the Tosafos is in the realm of Yesh Koach L'Cham L'Akor Dabar Min HaTorah. And he's basically asking, why does the Gemara, you know, characterize the case of Satan B'Tzitzis as Shei Bal Taisa? Tosafos asks, what do you mean? You're doing a Maisa of putting the Beged on. So as we pointed out from the Shagasari, the question clearly assumes that the Koveya is not the Gufa Isser, right? Because the Gufa Isser is, right, not putting on tzitzis, right? The question clearly assumes that, but you're doing a maisa, right? While you're violating, you're doing a maisa of the maisa levisha. So isn't that kumva aseh? And let's see how Tosas answers. So we're going to see that Tosas' answer does not reject the assumption of the question, like the Shagas Aryeh's. The Shagas Aryeh answers the question, but it's like, no, the whole assumption of the question is wrong. The whole assumption of the question says the Shagas Aryeh that, you know, any maisa along the way is kovea, says the Shagas Aryeh, no, the gufa iser is kovea. But we're going to see that Tosas accepts his assumption is that no, as long as you're doing a maisa at the time that you're violating the avera, it's going to be kumvase. Daniel, would you mind reading the answer? See v'yishlomer.
V'yishlomer, v'shas ituf akati lo mechayev ad acher shenizatev ad acher shenizatev.
Okay, before I get into the raya, so what is he saying?
That you're only chayev from tzitzis after you wrap it around yourself.
Right. So he says he's like a. Here's a breakdown. There's a Maisa Levisha. Then the moment following Maisa Levisha, the Chi of Tzitzis kicks in. So what's Tosas answering? That
that is being uprooting the essay of Tzitzis.
That's not exactly what he's saying. He's saying there's no Maisa being done B'Shas the Avera. Very important. He's not saying like the Shagas Aryeh. He's not saying, oh, let's focus on the Gufa Isser. No. He's just saying, yeah, he's saying, Tosas is saying, that you need to do a Maisa B'Shas Ha'Avera. Not that the Gufa Isser has to be Al Yedei Maisa, but the Maisa has to be done B'Shas Ha'Avera. It says, Tosos, here the Shas Ha'Avera is one moment after the Maisa Levisha. So here the Maisa Levisha, the Maisa that you're doing, takes place the moment before the Avera. Because the Avera of not putting the tzitzis on only kicks in a moment after. Let's just finish up the answer. He's making a diuk in the pasuk. Because, right, the kususcha, which is the mechayev of tzitzis, sounds like once you're wearing it already, so then the chiyev kicks in. That's a side point. It's like, oh, there's another pasuk which sounds like it's at the time that you're wearing it. That's the need for something else. This is the key line. Right, ula'acha shenisatev at the shas avira, and at the shas avira after you're already wearing it, at that point you're not doing a maisa. So very important. Tosas is not like the Shagas Aryeh. Tosas is saying, in a chanami, the koveya for kumva aseh is any maisa that you're doing. Doesn't have to relate to the gufa iser. But, says Tosas, we'll say this is important tonight, the only time that the maisa is going to make you kumva aseh is if the maisa is taking place at the shas ha'avira. But in this case, where the maisa takes place a moment before the shas ha'avira, so therefore it's considered Sheval Taisa. So it's very important because we just had the Ramban and Tosos who are both accepting this approach, the second approach, right? That the Gufa Isser, that the Geder of Kumvaseh is not about the Gufa Isser, but it's about Maisa while you're violating. But there's a very important difference between the Ramban and Tosos. The Ramban says that any Maisa along the way, this is Dov's point originally, right? Any maisa along the way of the avera is going to render your actions kumvas. Like in the cases of the Ramban and the Shivuot. Obviously, being zorik liyam, that's not the avera itself. That's like a hechsher to the avera. You're making sure that you can't fulfill the Shivuot.
Not zorik liyam, like 1 minute before the end of the day.
No, that's not the case.
So it's before.
But the point is, that's not the maisa avera.
Zorik liyam. Right. So why you're being mad.
It's because the Ramban holds that any Maisa, even if it's the Hachana, even if it's the Hechsher, even if it's the Hachana, the Hachana stages, that makes it a Kumvaseh. Tosas, on the other hand, agrees that, yeah, Maisa, even if it doesn't have to do with the Gufa Isser, it could be the Kumvaseh, but Tosas argues that the only Maisa which makes it Kumvaseh is a Maisa which takes place Bishas HaAvira. Very important. And this... relates to the two svaras we gave earlier, because Rav Chanan's svara doesn't work for Tosas either. Because Rav Chanan's svara is that stalemate, you have to be completely passive. According to Rav Chanan, you have to be completely passive throughout the process. Right? So, according to Rav Chanan, if you're active at any point, that's the problem, and that makes you kumva aseh. Tosas says, no, the only kumva aseh is only bishas ha'avera. That obviously holds like the second explanation 2b. It's all about chumrasa iser. It's all about, oh, when you're active, that makes the avera more chamor. And Tosas seems to be holding that the only time that you're being active makes the avera more chamor is if your activity is at the same time that the avera is being violated. So Tosas, so again, so both the Ramban and Tosas, for different reasons, cannot align with Rav Chanan's explanation 2a. Ramban can't because he's talking in the realm of Malkus, where there's no stalemate. And Tosos can't go with Rav Chanan because Tosos limits the Maisa to the Shas Ha'avira. And according to Rav Chanan, any Maisa along the way should be Koveh. So again, both the Ramban and Tosos seem to go within explanation 2b that we're suggesting that any Maisa is going to make it make it more chamur. Therefore, that applies to Malkus. A lav that was violated al yedei ma'isa is more chamur, and therefore gets Malkus. And according to Tosos, only a ma'isa which is done at b'shas ha'avira makes the avira more chamur. That's very important. And so far, we've had two Rishonim who adopt the general second approach, and it's all about any Maisa, even if it doesn't have to do with the Gufa Isser. Again, we had the Ramban in the realm of Malkus by the Zarko Liyam saying that that's Kumba Asay. And then we had Tosos in Yevamos, who basically says that any Maisa that's done at the Shas Ha'avera will be considered Kumba Asay, even if it doesn't have to do with the Guf, even if it doesn't have to do with the Gufa Isser. But we point out both of these Rishonim so far only work with the second explanation 2b, that even the second approach has to do with Chumras Isser. They don't work out, however, within Rav Chanan's idea of the stalemate for different reasons, as we explained. Okay. The third realm where this comes up, and this idea of that any Maisa is going to be a problem of Kumba Asay, is in the realm of Karka Olam. Anybody have a Gemara Sanhedrin open? Right, this is the sugya of Yerhag Layavor. If you can open up the Tosas and Ayin Dalet on the base. So here, the Rivam is very important shita here. Basically, it's coming to explain how we know, like, what's the Makor for the heter of Karka Olam Yerhag Layavor. Okay, so if you see it, and he's going to connect it to a certain svara, and there's a whole case of being thrown and a baby comes in. Sounds pretty gory, but conceptually it's very important. So pretend it's just theoretical. Anybody else have the Tosas in Sanhedrin other than Nadav? You got it? So Akiva, would you mind starting B'Hadul Aparach? See somewhere along the lines.
It's the first wide line. Last three words.
Alright, so the question that Tosas is asking is that why is the Gemara only ask that Esther is should have been Teharg Bal Tabor because of Farhesia? What about the fact that she's married to Mordechai, according to the Medrash, according to the Gemara? She's married to Mordechai, so not only is it Farhesia, but it's Gila Rayos. And Gila Rayos, even Betzina, would require Teharg Bal Tabor. So the Kasha that Tosas in many places discusses, why is the Gemara ignoring, why is the Gemara to say, Vahester Gila Rayos Havai? Tosas is going to answer, that would have been, it's Poshet that Karka Olam is a Heter by Gila Rayos. That's basically what he is going to answer. The reason why the Gemara doesn't ask the question by Gila Rayos is because it's Poshet that Karka Olam is a Heter by Gila Rayos. The Chiddush that the Gemara is saying is that Karka Olam even applies to Farhesia. That's the background. But now, in this Tosas, in explaining why is it Pashut that Karka Olam applies to Gila Rayos, he's going to say some very important things, which is going to align with the Svara, this Rav Chanan Svara we're going to see right now, the stalemate idea. Go for it. Right. The Kimla, right? It's Pashut that the factor, that the heter of Karka Olam applies to the case of Gila Raios. Why is that Pashut? Because what's the makor for Ger Harig Vayavar by Raios? The ha. Okay, there's a lot here, right? But the Aharig Val Yavor for Gila Raios comes from where?
Rotzeach.
Comes from Rotzeach. How do we know Rotzeach? How do we know? What's the case of Rotzeach? Right, I put a gun to Chas Hashem, but I put a gun to Shmuley's head and said, kill that other person, or I'm going to kill you. So in that case, Shmuley has the option, either to kill that other person, or have himself be killed. So the Harag Bayavor of Rotzeach says, what do you have to do?
Be killed.
You have to be killed. What's the basis? Is there a pasuk that tells you that?
No.
There's a svar. What's the svara? Exactly. My chaz is the dummy, the dach sumak tvei. How do you know that you're better than that other person?
That's what Shabbat
does. What? Okay. We're gonna get the regular. Right. We're gonna get there in just a moment. Right. So right, the Harav Yavar says you have to be killed rather than killing him, because how can you decide that you're greater than him? So Tzol's gonna say, wait a second. If the whole svara is how can you decide, then in the case where you're gonna be Sheval Taisa and they say, oh, I'm gonna throw you in a baby, or else I'm going to kill you, so then what are you allowed to do?
Nothing.
You're allowed to
be thrown
the baby. Because the whole svara is my chas is this, again, stalemate idea. Stalemate between the two lives. The idea is of my chas is that you can't decide whose life is greater. So b'makom, the stalemate of the two lives of my chas is, you have to do what? You have to be passive. So I was going to say, that same svara of stalemate carries over to Gila Raios. When we say that Gila Raios, you need to, they're your Harag Vayavar of Gila Raios. They're going to say it's also, we're going to say it's a stalemate. What? Exactly, because it's a hekish. Right? The basis for knowing your Harag Vayavar by Gila Raios is because the hekish between Rotzeach and Gila Raios. One more time?
Or the stalemate is
the Shvichas Damim? The Shvichas Damim stalemate is between the two lives. Meaning between your life and the other person's life. But then we carry over that din of Harag Vayavar to Gila Raios. And let's see how it goes. Right. So the Gemara just said, right, but you're allowed to, in the case of the Harag Vayavar by Rotzeach, you can be thrown on the other person, on the baby. Right? Because Dematzi Amart Adrabo. Yeah, sorry. Right, how do I know that his blood is redder than mine? The idea is you just can't make a decision, so you have to be passive. It's all about being passive.
Do you have to be passive, or do you have rishus to?
It seems like you have to be, because my chazus.
Kill yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, as I said, it's a good question, but it sounds like according to Tosafot Svara, you can't decide. Oh, so now we're saying, now when we carry over the Harag Vayavar from Rotzeach to Gila Raios, it's the same idea. When we carry over Yaharg Vayavar from Rotzeach to Raios, we say the same thing. That right? It's only Teharg Val Tavor right? When it carries it over, when the Gemara carries it over the Gila Raios to Teharg Val Tavor, really, first day on Tosas, Yaharg Garcin, and it only applies. Referring to this, what Michal was referencing before. First day on Tosas Yahar Garcinan. Yahar Vayavar of Arayos never applies to women, because women are always Karka Olam. That's the first day. Babo Alkai. Aval Nara Atzma, Shehi Karka Olam, in Chayavis Lismor Atzma. We'll stay with the first day. First day says that the Yahar Vayavar never applies, the Yahar Vayavar Gila Rayos never applies to women, because women are always Karka Olam. So again, what Tosas is doing is that we carry over the stalemate of the Harag Vayavar of Rotzeach, to say the same idea of being passive applies to the Harag Vayavar of Arayos. And the way Rav Chanan is going to explain the carryover is that just like by Rotzeach there's a stalemate between the two lives, and therefore we say Sheval Taisa, basically you have to be passive, that's exactly the same idea of Karka Olam by Arayos. There's a stalemate, not between two lives, but what's the stalemate between in the context of Arayos?
Death.
between your life, between pikuach nefesh, and the avera of arayos. There's a stalemate. So Rav Chanan explains Tosos. The idea is, once there's a stalemate between the pikuach nefesh, your life, and the chumra sa'isr of gil arayos, you have to be completely passive. And that's the idea of Tosos, that's the idea of karka olap, is the idea of being passive. Right? So again, the third makor for this idea of that end, the karka olap, that basically, right, that the sheba taisa is the idea of being passive throughout, is this Rav Chanan's explanation of Tosos. And Rav Chanan's explanation of Tosos is that when the idea of karka olam is the idea of being passive throughout because there is a stalemate, right? Practically, there's a stalemate between the value of pikuach nefesh and the iser of gil arayos. Therefore, you have to be passive. And this idea doesn't matter. The passivity doesn't have to do with the kufa iser. It's just you have to be passive throughout. So again, what we've done so far is basically seen in the other, or we haven't discussed Kavod HaBrios yet, but in the other realms of, you know, of Malkus, Yesh Koach Chum Lakar Dover Min HaTorah, and Karka Olam, we've seen two different approaches. First approach that the Kumva Asay has to do with the Gufa Isser. Second approach is that no, Kumva Asay has to do with any action, either because of the stalemate idea of Rav Chanan, or just that any action is considered, makes it more Chum. Now that we have these two approaches in the other realms, I have to now carry this over and discuss what about Kavod HaBrios. When in our Gemara, right, take it home, right? When our Gemara, right, says that, right, b'makom, right, in the case of Kavod HaBrios, that Kavod HaBrios can be doche a mitzvah de'oraisa when you're sheva taseh, what's the idea here? What is the geder or sheva taseh when it comes to Kavod HaBrios? We're going to see these two different approaches manifest within our sugya of Kavod HaBrios. So the first approach we're going to see is the first approach by Kavod HaBrios. We're going to flip the order because just in terms of the Makoros is going to say that the Sheva Taisa by Kavod HaBrios means that you can't do any Maisa. Again, not about the Gufa Isser, but as long as you're doing a maisa while you're violating, that's going to be considered kumba aseh, and that's going to be a problem in the realm of kavod HaBrios. So again, so the first approach we're going to see in that same Tosas in Yevamos is going to say that the geder sheva al taseh for kavod HaBrios is the idea of not doing any maisa, right? Not doing any maisa. And the way you're... One second, just to make sure I'm getting this right. Right, and the idea is going to be, the stalemate idea here is going to be, that when we say that when there's a clash between Kavod HaBrios and the mitzvah de'oraisa, and we say, oh, you can do that b'sheva taisa, the idea is that there's a clash between the value of Kavod HaBrios and the value of the mitzvah de'oraisa, let's say the value of Kavod HaBrios of meis mitzvah, and the value of the mitzvah of milah. So there's a clash. It's a stalemate. You don't know what to do, so you have to be sheva taisa. You can't do any maisa. Right? So again, according to the first approach, the way the exception of sheva taisa is working by Kavod HaBrios, that there's a clash between Kavod HaBrios and the mitzvah d'oraisa, and the idea is you just have to be passive.
Mitzvah, okay. Not good. Able to.
Okay. Good. That's gonna be Rav Chanan's point. We're gonna get back to that. That's gonna be Rav Chanan's araya to the second approach. But right now, we're gonna see that Tosas in Yevamos seems to adopt this approach. Tosas in Yevamos seems to assume that the idea that any maisa, right, even if it doesn't have to do with the gufa iser, is going to be begeder kumva aseh for the purposes of Kavod HaBrios. Let's go back to that same Tosas in Yevamos. The second half of it. Right, remember, Tosos, the beginning of Tosos, as we were discussing earlier in Yevamos, assumes that the gather of Kumva Aseh is not Gufa Isser. It's that as long as you're doing a Maisa, Bishas Ha'avera, that's going to be considered Kumva Aseh, even if that Maisa doesn't have to do with the Gufa Isser. Right? He's saying that in the context of Yesh Koach Chacham Lakar Dover Min HaTorah, but then he's going to carry it over to our Sugya Kavod HaBrios. Anyone have the Tosos in Yevamos? Daniel, would you mind continuing? So the Im Tomar.
So what's
Tosas kasha?
By wearing kalayim, it's a
Right, so Tosafot is saying, wait a second. We basically just said before that sudden betzitzis is sheva al tasa. Why is that any different? Right? Why is that any different than the case of kilayim in the sugya of kavod abrios? Right? In the sugya of kavod abrios, it's clear that levisha's kilayim is considered kum va'aseh. So Tosafot is asking, just like we considered levisha's beged by the sudden betzitzis to be sheva al tasa, so why you carry that over by kavod abrios as well? And what's the answer? Va'omari.
The fact that he's just, we consider that it just there with it on him, is itself considered a kum va'aseh that we require him to rip it off, essentially.
Okay, sure. Well, let's see from his answer what his question is. Let's see, Va'omari. I hear what you're saying, but I think that's going to be a question that you're going to have also on Tosafot's answer. So let's see Tosafot's answer. Va'omari.
Deshani kalayim, the ikar iser b'shas levisha, shalavash v'iser. Aval kan, lo mischayev ad achar shumizatev.
So how does Tosas machalik?
That the Isra of wearing kalayim is then the time when you put it on the baged and the entire time that you wear it, while by tzitzis, the Isra is only when you...
the moment the afterwards.
Yeah.
Right? So Tosas is saying, the same geder that I, Tosas, had by Yesh Koch HaChamim, that's not about the Gufa Isra, it's all about... Practically, did you do a maisa bishas ha'avera? That's the same gedder by kavod abrios. He's just saying the difference is that when it comes to tzitzis, right, the maisa was done right before the avera, but by kalayim, the maisa is done at the shas right. The maisa of levishas kalayim is done at the time at the shas ha'avera, the iser of levishas kalayim. So Tosafot is basically saying the same gedder of saying that the koveya for sheva taisa for kum va'aseh is not the gufa iser, but it's rather, are you doing a maisa bishasa avera? That carries over to kavod abrios as well. So again, this Tosafot is a raya that even the sugya of kavod abrios is not based on the gufa iser, but it's rather, are you doing a maisa bishas? Are you doing a maisa bishas ha'avera? Or are you doing a maisa bishas ha'avera? Even if that particular maisa doesn't have to do with the gufa iser. You're asking a side question, which is an excellent question. We have to get back to the ritva in Makos. You're asking, wait a second, how can Tosafot talk only be focusing about the maisa levisha? The sugya, our sugya talks about it, even if the person is already wearing it, we still make him take it off. Right? That's what you're asking. But Tosafot doesn't answer that question. Tosafot seems to be assuming, like the ritva, that every moment that you continue wearing it, it's as if you're putting it back on again. We'll get back to that.
This would have the same issue, but because there was never a maisa at the shas of the original Aveira, that it would have been
material. Yeah, we're going to get to that. Yeah. What?
It's an Aveira. Once the original Aveira sort of carries on until he takes it off.
Exactly. Yeah, we're going to get back to that. We're going to get back to that.
It wouldn't apply because there's no maisa that's causing the original Aveira.
Okay, good. So I'm... Right, I just want to make sure I finish this up. Right, so again, the first approach by kavod abrios is the idea that any maisa, even if it doesn't have to do with the gufa iser, is always going to be considered kum va'aseh by kavod abrios. The other approach we're going to see, and this is actually what Rav Chanan himself says, Rav Chanan is going to seem to bring a very strong raya that the koveya by kavod abrios is what? Is that it specifically has to be the gufa iser. What's his raya, Dov? Because why? What is it? What's the case?
That he goes to serve to take care of Mes Mitzvah, which through actively do it, and then as a result of that action, he's now no longer able to do the Kavod HaSeh.
Exactly. Very good. Right. What's the case of Sheva Taisa in the Gemara in the Braisa? The case is where you actively tend to the Mes Mitzvah and passively violate or not be mekayim the milah and the karban pesach. So says Rav Chanan, if the geder of sheva taisa versus kum va'aseh is stalemate, you just can't do any action, so that's not going to work here, because here, if it was all about stalemate, then we couldn't tell you, go take care of the meis mitzvah, because that's breaking the stalemate, that's doing an action. Says Rav Chanan, the fact that we consider that case where you actively deal with the Meis Mitzvah, right, And consider that case Sheva Taisa, says Rav Chanan, it's only because the gender of Sheva Taisa must have to do with the Gufa Isser. And since the Gufa Isser in these cases is not being Mekayim, the mitzvah of Mila, and not being Mekayim, the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, and from the perspective of the Gufa Isser, that's Sheva Taisa. So says Rav Chanan, just the case in the Gemara seems to be machriach, that the gedder ha-dvarim of Sheva Taisa by in the realm of Kavod HaBrios is all about the Gufa Isser, because says Rav Chanan, otherwise how can you consider the case of Meitz Mitzvah to be Sheva Taisa? You're actively being metapel with the Meitz Mitzvah. Says Rav Chanan, it must be that the gedder of Sheva Taisa for Kavod HaBrios is this idea of what's the Gufa Isser. And the Gufa Isser, even though I'm actively dealing with the Meitz Mitzvah, but since the Gufa Isser is Sheva Taisa not performing Mila, not performing Karban Pesach, it's considered Sheva Taisa. The question is, what is Tosas going to do? What is Tosas Nivamas going to say? Tosas Nivamas says, no, any Maisa, even if it doesn't have to do with the Gufa Isser, how is he going to deal with this Raya? Very important. What's Tosas' qualification? Does Tosas say that any Maisa makes a Kumba say? Or only a Maisa when? At the Shas Aveira. The Tosas is going to reject this Raya and says, wait a second. Yes, the person is doing a Maisa, actively being metapel with the Meis Mitzvah, but that doesn't coincide with the Shasa Avera of the Mila and the Karban Pesach. So Tosas is going to say, yeah, Rav Chanan, you don't have a Raya, or anachronistic, obviously, right? Tosas is going to say to Rav Chanan, right? You don't have a Raya from the case that the Geder must be the Gufa Isser. Because I, Tosas, say that even though I don't think the Geder is based in Gufa Isser, and I think it's about being any Maisa, but it's only a Maisa which coincides with the Shasa Avera. And therefore, Tosas is going to say, in our case of Kavod HaBrios, yes, I'm actively being metapel with the Meis Mitzvah, but that doesn't necessarily coincide with the Shasa Avera of when you violate the Mila, Mitzvah Mila, not violate until the guy unfortunately passes away without a Mila. But there's no Shas, there's no time where you violate a Mila. And Karban Pesach lasts throughout the day, until the end of Erev Pesach. So the Tosas would say, the reason why this case is considered Sheva Taisa is because, yes, you're doing a Maisa, and the Maisa doesn't have to relate to the Guf Ha'iser, but the only time I consider a Maisa to be Kumva Ase is if that Maisa coincides with the Shas Ha'avira, and that doesn't apply in this case.
But I'm
and we'll stop here. I'll take any questions afterwards. What